It's the Fast Line on 101 ESPN with Jamie Rivers and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. Meat is here as well. Look at you, Meat.
We got polo shirt. Look at you.
We got
gel going and everything. Look at you, Meat.
We got We Went Blues Day. We Went Blues Day this Saturday, June 12th. 101 ESPN and the Blues celebrating the two-year anniversary of the Blues' first Stanley Cup championship. You'll hear the rebroadcast, Game 7 in Boston, beginning at noon on 101 ESPN. Of course, you'll hear the voice of the Blues Radio Network, Chris Kerber, alongside Joey Vitale. And Kerbs joins us via the Brown and Krubman Celebrity Line. Kerbs, I know you probably don't get tired of listening to that entire game. Was there a moment in that game that when you either re-listen to it or you watch it, you're like, man, I kind of forgot about that, but what a crucial moment?
I wouldn't say forgot about it. I really believe that the crucial moment in that game was the save of Jordan Binnington on Nordstrom when the Blues had a two-goal lead. And I talked to Carl Gunnarsson about this too. Jake Allen reaching out with that right leg and making that save on his ankle and Nordstrom unable to lift the puck. Like, even the players on the bench know that if Boston scores there, there's probably a chance that they tie it up. If they make it a one-goal game, they tie it up. Instead, he makes the save, and then the Blues are able to go down and eventually make it 3-0. I really do believe, and we saw this just a couple nights ago, Colorado's got a 2-0 lead on Las Vegas with a chance to go up 3-2, right? But Vegas roars back and wins in overtime. I believe that, to me, you know, that was the crucial save and the big moment of that game that really made the difference. It allowed the Blues to extend the lead and pretty much didn't allow Boston to come from behind.
Kerbs, do you remember just your emotions before that Game 7? Because, like, there's a lot of energy going into calling a game like that. You know what's on the line, and you've been along the ride the whole time. Like, how did you feel heading into that game?
I was done. Like, I was done with the drama, if this makes any sense. Like, I mean, it was such an amazing series against Boston, the intensity of the fans in both cities. Like, honest to goodness, I was done, and I've told this story a bunch of times. It's about an hour and a half before puck drop. The gates are open, and Joe and I are sitting up, and, you know, we're literally bumped shoulder to shoulder because, you know, we're just squeezed into a corner, you know, along Press Row to do the game. And they showed this kid, must have been 10 or maybe 11 or 12 years old, you know, Boston Bruins fan on the video board in the arena. He's got his, you know, Pasternak hat on, which is a colander with yarn coming out like pasta, right? And I just looked at Joe and I said, I hope we send that kid home crying today. So that's where my emotions and my intensity was. And I'm telling you, and like, so the Blues, I think we're halfway through the first period, right? It's a 0-0 game still. We're halfway through the first period, and Joe looks at me during the commercial break and says, we're good, we got this. I looked at him and I went, what the hell are you talking about? Like, this thing is, you know, what's wrong with you? What do you mean we got this? He goes, nah, I've seen goalies in a zone before. He goes, Benner's on, we got this. Literally at a 0-0 score, he said that halfway through the first.
Wow.
I mean, it was
nailed it.
It was pretty good. And then I didn't feel comfortable until there was about a minute and a half left to go in that game.
Now, Kerbs, you talk about that. You didn't feel comfortable a minute and a half left in the game. And I don't know. I want to pick your brain a little bit here as to, you know, the final 5 minutes of you being on the call. Like, do you remember that 5 minutes? Or is it kind of a blur now, the closer and closer it got to the buzzer going?
So prior to game 5, I saw Mike Emmerich, in Boston down in the arena. And I went to Mike and I said, hey, Mike, of all the conversations we've had, I've never asked you this. I go, what do you do with a call? Like you've called a bunch of big moments, you know, just what do you think? And he said, Chris, the only thing I could tell you is Al Michaels screwed it up for all of us. You know, so you go way back to 1980, right? And Al Michaels with the, do you believe in miracles? There will be no more of a perfect call from a political, national, sporting moment than that, you know, kids versus the pros, you name it. And it was a pretty funny moment. Guys, I didn't have anything prepped in terms of what I was going to say. And the only thing I did, I thought about doing this and I didn't do it, was I'm like, okay, so what I did do is I prepared my brain for three different scenarios. a blowout for, a blowout against, and then a tight situation. And what I learned in Game 7 against the Dallas Stars was the emotions and how to keep the emotions in check, believe it or not, for that scenario. Because and if you ask Alex Ferrari, he'll tell you. I looked back at him, Chris Raby, Ben Boyd, and the crew at that point, right? Amy Marsh scores, and I said, okay, listen, everybody keep your head about you, because that puck could go in, and our season's over, and we got to put the season into the right perspective just as easily as it could go the other way, and we're moving on to the third round. In this case, that same thing could happen, and your season is over, and you've lost the Stanley Cup in Game 7. And in the end, what happened was you've got a comfortable lead, which is good, but then Boston, for the final minute and a half with an empty net, had the pressure. So if you try to wax poetic about a team that was in last place too soon and early and that kind of stuff, right, then you're actually missing exciting action with Boston putting the pressure on in the final seconds. And at that point, we just said, you know what, it's just about, you know, the action, and we'll call it and say whatever comes to mind when the buzzer sounds, and that's how it came about.
Chris Gerber joining us right now. Again, we've got the Blues and 101 ESPN celebrating the two-year anniversary of the Blues' first Stanley Cup championship with We Win Blues Day this Saturday, June 12th. You can check out details at 101ESPN.com. So I got to ask you, Kerbs, you talked about that last call and things like that. Was there anything that you said, just react to it as opposed to maybe planning it? And then what were the things that you were thinking to yourself, I've got to be prepared for this, whether it's that last final, what you were going to say or whatever it was? Like, what are the things that you let roll and the other things that you want to be prepared for?
Everything that came out of my mouth was let roll. I didn't have any of that prepared or thought of, you know, but the only thing I thought about, you know, like after Blues wins, I say a lot most of the times, bring out the Zamboni. The only thing I knew was I wasn't going to say that, because that just didn't seem to fit, right? And it doesn't make any sense, even if it's a call that fans are used to after a win. It just, to me, doesn't fit there, you know. And look, I mean, it's a scenario you run through your head if you're a broadcaster tons of times, how you'd react, things you'd say. But nothing that I had ever thought in the 1.25 million times I thought about making that call, nothing actually came out that way. Like I said, it was more just preparing for the moment. But I got to tell you, like, we had such an amazing run. And the coolest part about this, and you know, Brad having won, and Jamie, you know, at different levels when you're in tournaments and things, you'll know this, and Anthony, you as well. Like, you just, man, it's going through with people. Like, when I look back on that run, and I think of how we, you know, this amazing dinner we had with 16 people, including Tom Stillman and our training staff and stuff at a restaurant the night before Game 7. That those are the stories and the camaraderie of that you remember, and you go, and it somehow kept you in a moment where you could really just enjoy every moment of that playoff series. And that's what Game 7 was so cool, was you just didn't know what was going to go. And then when Schwartz finds Petro and they burn Marchand to get that goal, and, you know, and then O'Reilly finds the net, and, you know, and then Sanford, the Boston kid, scoring to make it 4-0 and really put it away after, you know, losing his father earlier in the year. I mean, just amazing stories. You could soak it all in. It's hard to find one moment, to be honest with you, because you look at it all, and in its entirety, it's overwhelming and just flat out awesome.
Yeah, a whole lot of incredible moments. And as our listeners, Kerbs, on Saturday are going to be listening to Game 7 on We Went Blues Day, they're going to be thinking about the memories that they had. And they're going to be thinking about all of the emotions that were there, right? Their families, all the times that were the downtimes, and then the great times. And then they're going to be thinking towards the future, right? When is the next time these guys are going to go win a Stanley Cup? So when you look at that, when you think about the past and look at the future, do you believe this team is like close to chase these memories and these emotions again?
I do. I really do, Brad. Now, you'd be disingenuous if you'd say you're not a little frustrated watching Boston go to a second round or a third round again since that series, or, you know, seeing Boston get to the three Stanley Cup finals after, you know, counting the cup that they won in 2011, or looking at what Tampa Bay has done. Right. I mean, where Tampa Bay could actually go win another cup here, and they've gone on a deep run. You'd be frustrated to say, geez, how come we haven't gotten beyond, you know, the first round in each of the last 2 years? We just have not been a good COVID team. And I'm hanging it on that. Like, this is a team that was built on camaraderie, that is built on just being around each other. And I think the fact that they couldn't be subconsciously, inherently, the characteristic of this team impacted them. I believe they're there. I think Doug Armstrong has a plan. I think there's opportunities out there. And much like the Chicago Blackhawks had to make some adjustments, you know, after losing guys like Dustin Byfuglien or Andrew Ladd or Patrick Sharp, you know, those are such critical players there. I think the Blues are in that same boat. And a couple of tweaks, you still have a winning attitude. You still have a winning coach. I think they are still in the mix. And I'm going to – look, guys, if this team was healthy, they could beat Colorado. It's a slightly different style, but they could beat them. They can beat Las Vegas. I mean, Las Vegas hadn't beat the Blues in regulation until this year. Until this year. So, I think they're there. Now, this is a critical offseason, in my opinion, to keep it there. And you've got to make some impactful moves that are going to keep that window open for you, because I just don't know that relying on some of the youth we have in the organization or some of the guys that we had question marks going into last season, I don't think you do that. And I guess I'll relate it to this way, Brad, and something that maybe Randy and I were going to talk about tomorrow morning too on his show. But you look at the Cardinals and the Blues, and there's some real interesting similarities here, and that is that you go in, you know you have a group that can be competitive. You know you have a group that could probably win the division. Then you get into the playoffs, maybe you get on a run, some things happen, and you go deep, right? But it is hard to stay consistent when you have the number of question marks in terms of, okay, we know what we're getting from these two starting pitchers, but these next three are question marks going in and they're remaining question marks, right? Those kind of things, that's where the Blues are at, and they've got to go in with fewer question marks and a little more assurity next season.
Curbs, great stuff. That was a lot of fun. Can't wait to listen to you tomorrow, 7 to 10 a.m. with Randy Carricker. I know you're filling in for Michelle Smallman, and we're going to be locked in. Great stuff, Curbs. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have an awesome rest of the week. A terrific weekend, too.